Listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane 88.1 92.3 FM, Solidarity Spokane. I'm your host, Cat Sabotage. We're here with the ILC Local 93. Good morning.
I'd like to dream my troubles all the way.
California Stars by Billy Bragg and Wilco. That rendition, anyway, that is actually from an album called Mermaid Avenue, which was suggested to your humble host by fellow worker Eric Udland. Eric, if you're listening, very much a big thank you to that for introducing me to that album. Previously, Unheard Lyrics by Woody Guthrie, that Woody's daughter Nora had approached Billy Bragg and Wilco about producing in the 90s. There are a couple different sets of that if you'd like to get a little more Woody, in case you thought that everything that they have previously released was all there is. I didn't know, and now I do. Thank you very much, Eric. So welcome to Solidarity Spokane, Spokane's local labor hour. I'm your host, Kat, and it's good to be back with you after what I hope was a relaxing and long Labor Day for everybody. I apologize for getting a little militant. I just find that it's a little bit much every time we're asked to observe a day that was made with the intention of deceiving us. A couple of housekeeping items today before we roll into everything. I'm here in the studio today with Anthony Calabro, member of IOTC Local 93. For those fellow workers not in the know, IOTC 93 is the International Alliance of Theatrical and Stage Employees, and we're going to be talking to him here in a minute. Wanted to bring your attention to some quick news coming out of Georgia. As if one RICO case involving a former president wasn't enough, now we've got another RICO case citing Indictments for 61 people, AP News reports, that have been indicted on racketeering charges following a long-running state investigation into protests against a planned police and firefighter training facility in Atlanta that some of you might know as Cop City. Now, earlier this year in January, another member of those protesters, Tortuguita, fellow worker Tortuguita, was shot 14 times and killed as the police raided protesters who were inhabiting the land in an attempt to keep it from being developed. A later independent autopsy had found that Tortuguita was shot 14 times, possibly more, with different firearms from different angles, and that he had been shot in the palm, they had been shot, excuse me, in the palms of their hands. Now, I don't know about you, but the official account from the police and others that are backing Cop City said that they were firing in self-defense after fellow worker Tortuguita had opened fire and shot a police officer in the leg. But I don't know how you get wounds on the palms of your hands if you're holding a firearm. I suppose we'll leave that to muse about, and I would encourage you to look into this as it unfolds in Georgia. It's been quite the saga. And ties very much into some of the anti-police demonstrations that we've been seeing around the country since the George Floyd protests of 2020. These 61 people have been indicted for money laundering and racketeering and what they call intimidation for distributing leaflets, calling the police officer who supposedly killed Tortuguita a murderer. I'm going to let you formulate your own opinions about the situation, fellow workers, but it has been a arduous and painful and drawn-out saga that many of you, I'm sure, are aware of. But if you are not, please do go to wherever you get your news, albeit with discretion, and look into that. Now, moving on to today's guest, Anthony. Tony, can I call you Tony?
Tony works great, yeah.
All right. Tony is here with us from IATSE, the IATSE 93. And IATSE was founded in 1893 when representatives of stagehands working in 11 cities met in New York and pledged to support each other's efforts to establish fair wages and working conditions for their members. Now, IATSE has since evolved to embrace the development of new entertainment media, craft expansion, technological innovation, and geographic growth. Now, today, IATSE members work in all forms of live theater, motion picture, and television production, trade shows and exhibitions, television, broadcasting, and concerts, as well as the equipment and construction shops that support all of these areas of the entertainment industry, so it is very all-encompassing. They represent virtually all the behind-the-scenes workers in crafts ranging from motion picture animator to theater usher. And during a period when private sector union membership has been declining, it seems that IATSE has only continued to grow. And their membership increased since 93 from 74,000 to 160,000, which the union has attributed to its willingness to adapt its structure to protect traditional jurisdiction and accommodate new crafts. I think, Tony, we were going to talk a little bit about that and see where the conversation gets us. Thank you very much for coming on the show. It's a pleasure to have you.
Yeah, happy to be here and kind of tell folks what it is I do for work and how unionism fits into it. So, yeah, real excited.
Yeah, so Tony, you were telling me just before the show started, and we cut the mics live here, that you came to IATSE in 2019, but I'm going to guess that at some point in your past you had some experience in theater or around shows, entertainment. What got you into the profession?
Yeah, absolutely. I have kind of a funny non-traditional story. I've always been involved with stage crafting, mostly just live entertainment when it comes to rock and roll, different things like that. Believe it or not, my first time behind a soundboard was in a church. I think a lot of audio engineers kind of get into it that way. If they didn't go to audio engineering school, typically they kind of get into it from either a community center or a church. And for me, it was a church. That was in high school. I went to college for something real different. I went here in town to Whitworth and health science and minored in psychology. But while I was there, I was on the stage crew. So our crew on campus was composed of all students, and we were in charge of putting on all the productions for the campus. So everything from a large beginning of the year concert all the way down to a single microphone lecture that might happen in one of the lecture halls on campus. I did it as a student, found out I really, really enjoy it. a lot. Continue to kind of chug away at my health science stuff. Graduated with my degree in health science, but I wanted more. I really, really just kind of, it hooked me. I have a passion for it. Like most folks in the industry do. A lot of folks in this industry just have a passion for the live entertainment in some shape or form. And that's kind of what keeps us coming back. And I actually got hired on as a full-time staff member at Whitworth University for a bit. And that's how I got plugged in with IOTSI. We did some events where we brought in some of the IOTSI workers to help us out. And I got in and was able to get on a couple of lists and work some calls at some of the local venues that we work at here in town. And kind of the rest was history. I just kind of continued to fall in love with it, working bigger and bigger shows. And then decided to finally join up and pay my membership dues in December of 2019. So with the hopes, bright-eyed and bushy-tail young union member, ready for a wonderful world of live events here in Spokane.
And then ran straight into that COVID-19 wall that hit the industry in March. I mean, like, how did you feel at that moment? I mean, were you just kind of crestfallen? Did you think about jumping ship? Or like what? I imagine there must have been so much going through your mind at that moment.
Absolutely. You know, I had a really unique experience for me personally, where I was a member of a union where all work and within the union shut down pretty much immediately. I mean, Broadway shut down. And when Broadway shut down, pretty much everything else within our industry and IOTSI houses came to a screeching halt. I was lucky where at the time I was still employed by Whitworth as a full-time employee, and IOTSI was more of a part-time gig for me. And in that, I still had some employment through Whitworth. Things were weird still because it was live entertainment.
For sure.
And campuses went home and we couldn't gather. So I had to really pivot a lot and kind of flex a lot of my production and creative muscles to kind of continue to stay relevant at Whitworth. Mm-hmm. So I was able to kind of keep making money. But yeah, so it was definitely a screeching halt. Like, oh gosh, I hope I'm making the right choice here. I think it's going to come back. And it was 2 years of a lot of grinding. Yeah, it was challenging.
And what was the moment that the industry kind of felt like, okay, we're getting back on our feet? I mean, has that been just pretty recently? I felt like it's mostly been this year that people are kind of more comfortable going out and getting into those public places. And is that accurate from your side, from what you're seeing?
Yeah, you know, we started coming back in 2021. Broadway shows, I can't remember. It's been a bit of a blur. It's been a really busy couple of years for me post-COVID. But I remember either late 21 or probably maybe mid 22, Broadway shows started coming back and things like that. But they came back with like a lot of precautions. Every single touring act came through. Masking was mandatory. Testing was mandatory. Some places would even make us do PCR tests before we showed up to work. It was all supplied, you know, keeping us safe. Because the reality is if a road crew gets, you know, COVID, it's going to rip through the road crew like wildfire. And yeah. So we were really, really careful. I'd say in 2022, there was, I think I heard some statistics, like 100, we were operating like 120% capacity over the year previous, as far as amount of events that were coming back. Because we were not only scheduling new events, artists, bands, Broadway shows, we were also trying to make up for all this tickets that we had to refund. Mm-hmm. And so things were getting pretty crazy. This year, beginning of this year, feels like things are back to normal, hitting the same pace. January, February, things started tracking. A lot of our budgetary numbers are tracking the same as they were pre-pandemic too. So this year things seem back on track, but we're also busier than ever here in town, which is really exciting to see. So hopefully that continues. And hopefully that COVID lull is finally gone.
And some of that increased work, is that coming as a result of the city investing in new venues like the Podium and different performance spaces? I know the Pavilion's just gotten a rework, which I mean, just saw a show there a couple weeks ago, Father John Misty, and it looked stellar.
Yeah,
it was just fantastic. So I mean, have you been working those venues and those areas, and like what's it been like working in some of the areas around town? Do you have any favorites?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I would say the city making a big push to bring live entertainment, especially in the form of live music, and large national acts to town, has been really, really helpful for us. We've had really long-standing contracts with the Spokane Public Facilities Department, and that's been really wonderful. We have a great relationship with them. Our business agents, past, present, and future, have maintained some wonderful relationships with those folks, and that's what kind of kept us in. So whatever departments the PFD kind of venues the PFD do is the ones that we end up providing labor for. So as the PFD grows, thankfully, we're growing where we get to provide labor for stuff. So the ones that fall into the PFD jurisdiction are the Spokane Arena, the FICA, the First Interstate Center for Performing Arts, the Spokane Podium as well. And then the last one is the stadium as well. So really excited. We don't know what's going to come with the stadium, but who knows? I mean, maybe they'll turn it into something. And if they do, we're ready to help provide some labor for it. So yeah, we're really, really grateful for that. My favorite venue is a city venue, actually. It's the Spokane Pavilion. It's just unlike anything else that I think personally. Like it's gorgeous. The art, you know, the giant Expo 74 canopy that's over it, the pixel mapped panels that are really fun to play with. Some of our light technicians have an opportunity to kind of play with the road band as well and do some light shows on the canopy that kind of matches some of the staging as well, which is really fun. And I actually have a really fun role in that as well. So I'm a stage line technician. So that stage that you see at the pavilion is actually a mobile stage. Mm-hmm. It rolls in like a truck bed. It rolls in like a 53-foot semi, and then Autobot transforms into the stage that you see in front of you. So
not Decepticon.
No, yeah, Autobots. We're nice Autobots. Ones. Yeah, yeah. And that's really fun to work with. I get to, me and a couple other folks are stage line techs within the local. So what that basically entails is we manage a crew of 4 to 6 union workers, and, and we build this stage out to what you see when you go to a show there. So I like that venue a lot. It's just real pretty. It's newer, and it's right on the water. It's just, and every single band that has come through that space has had nothing but incredible things to say about it. I think the first year that we had a handful of our shows there, one or two production managers kind of turned to me and looked at me and said, "This might be one of the nicest venues America has to offer." And I said, "No, like surely better than Red Rocks? Like you're exaggerating. You're just like," he's like, "No, this is something special you got here." So really encouraging to hear something like that coming out of a small place inland northwest here in Spokane. So yeah,
absolutely. I remember seeing many years ago with my friend Colton, we saw Jason Mraz in the Lilac Bowl, and that was a unique experience too, with the backdrop of the IMB back in there. I mean, it's still the IMB to me. I know the names have changed, so I mean, I'm going to be stuck in the past with that forever. But I mean, getting to perform down by the river in a venue like that, and right when the sun is setting.
Yeah.
I mean, the one thing that you do kind of miss out on is that the pavilion's actual mount, the main mast, if you will, it just kind of sits there in the middle. So you kind of got to, you know, fight for a good spot on the grass up there.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah.
But that's the only downside, I would say, from an audience member.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in the production houses that we, you know, that roll through there and set up sound for that, one of them's local, and sometimes the sound comes in from the tour as well. They do a really good job of dialing in that venue. So there's not a bad seat in the house unless you're behind that big mass.
Yeah. 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 But the sound quality is great, and you can just walk through downtown and you can hear that music filling everything. And it's really special.
It is.
I have to agree. And it's nice coming from somebody who's working professionally in the industry to hear them tell us, you know, I've been around, I've been looking, and this is pretty incredible.
It kind of gave me goosebumps the first time I hear it, and I actually have a little bit now thinking about it. That, you know, every now and then we still get folks that come through saying, "This is a special place you have here." So we're grateful for it. Very, very grateful for it.
And hopefully that attracts more of that talent, and we get more of those people that want to come and actually play there.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. That's what we're all hoping, which means, you know, more entertainment for the locals here in town, but also more work for the, you know, for all of our IOTC folks here in town as well, which we're always grateful for.
Absolutely. And we were talking just before the show too about how Spokane in the early 1900s used to have more theaters and more entertainment venues per capita than any other city in the world. I mean, we were beating out London, we were beating out New York, and you know, all that kind of gets obscured, you know, in the history and all of it, because we kind of bottomed out in the middle of the 20th century there, and we just kind of became another side town. But I mean, we do have that rich history, some of which is still here. I mean, they tore down the old auditorium where the mall is now, the downtown mall, and then they've torn out all the other theaters. But I mean, we have a really great legacy that we could bring back and live up to. And
absolutely. Yeah, I agree 100%. It's funny. We were also talking about this before the break. We spoke IOTC Local 93, the local branch of IOTC here in town. 93 started off as a strictly projectionist union. So what that means basically is, you know, back in the day, folks had to change film reels, maintain those projectors. They were a lot to take care of. And so there was enough theaters in town to support a union to protect the workers' rights. So that just tells you how much of a entertainment metropolis this place must have been back in the heyday. It must have been so fun to see.
Oh man, I bet. And I love going to that Northwest room here in the library and just checking out all the pictures and stuff they got from that time. Because I mean, it really was bustling.
Yeah, you know? It was.
Pretty cool to see. I think we're going to go ahead and we're going to take our first break. And then that's a nice little stopping point, I think. And then we'll get back into more. You're listening to Solidarity Spokane, KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 to 92.3 FM. I'm here with Tony Calabro, and you're listening to the IOTC 93. We'll be right back.
Ships met by the stormy ocean. Planes may fly the stormy sky.
Join me, Captain Maeve, as we head out and about, featuring LGBTQ folk, friends, allies, and all who make Spokane a better place through inclusion, creativity, truth, and beauty. Local stories, conversations, and creations with universal appeal. Out and about. Every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on KYRS.
This is your KYRS live and local calendar for September 11th through the 14th. Monday, the Salt Band at Brick West Plaza. Imagine Jazz featuring the Dan Keverly Quintet at the Bad Seed and Tara Reed with Zodiac and others at Riverside Place. Tuesday, Gil Rivas at the Spokane County Interstate Fair and the Ronaldos at the Osprey. Wednesday, Ron Green at Iron Horse in the Valley. Tropodelic, Kyle Smith, and Joey Harkham at the District. Cynical Suffering, Lost to the Void, The Night We Died, and Bone Mass at Jackson Street. Absent Cardinal, You Die Orange, and others at the Big Dipper, Open Mic at the Checkerboard, and the Roommates Jam at the Red Room. Thursday, Carly Osika at Arborcrest, Sentimental Journey at McCracken's, Just Plain Darren at QQ Sushi, Dr. Don Goodwin at the Historic Davenport, Brant Bjork Trio, Kadabra, and Children of Atom at the Big Dipper, Civil Strife, Dust Fuzz, and Nighthawk at Jackson Street, and Effin at the District. For an entire hour of Spokane area musicians, tune into For the Love of the Music. Catch Jake Rozier live this Sunday night at 8 on KYRS.
Solidarity Spokane relies on support from listeners like you. $10 will help keep us streaming 24/7 so that you have access to Thin Air Community Radio anywhere that you are. Check out our program schedule at KYRS.org and please, please, please support Solidarity Spokane by donating online at KYRS.org or text Give KYRS to 44321. More on that from Jeremy Whittington at Stage Left.
Hi, this is Jeremy Whittington from Stage Left Theater. KYRS Thin Air Community Radio provides our region with information that might be omitted, overlooked, or even censored by mainstream media. Your radio station is powered by the communities they serve, and our radio programs are as rich and diverse as the Spokane community itself. Please make a pledge today by texting GIVE KYRS to 44321. Your support ensures that KYRS can continue to celebrate the rich diversity of our community.
Welcome back to Solidarity Spokane. I'm your host, Kat Sabotage, and you are listening to an interview today with Tony Calabro, stagehand and member, professional member of the IOTC 93. Before the break, we were just talking about the work that IOTC does, bringing professional shows through music, theater, any kind of entertainment you can imagine. These guys are the ones behind the scenes making sure that everything goes up efficiently, safely, so that you can go out and have a good evening watching your favorite band or your favorite musician. And Tony, it's really good to have you and have your perspective. I feel like so many times we take for granted the people that are doing everything behind the scenes. And, you know, it's kind of a thankless job, right? You do all this work to set it up and then the headliner gets all the fame and acclaim or what have you. But, I mean, you guys are hanging heavy, heavy stuff, like, you know, above a lot of people. Yeah. And if that job is not done correctly, you know, there are consequences. And so I just need to say on air and for the record for everybody listening that we appreciate you and everything that you do. So thank you so much.
Well, I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. Yeah, I mentioned earlier that it's a job you have to have a lot of passion for and a lot of passion for what you do and what the finished product is. And that's a big reason why is if we do everything right, no one knows we're there.
Right. Yeah. Everything goes seamlessly. Everybody has a good time and they go home and they make a memory that they'll remember forever. And they'll say, I saw that when back in back in 2000. What was it? Oh, it was so good. You know,
yeah,
those kinds of things.
Absolutely.
So, and you were talking about how you have kind of a need for more people. Is that right? Are you kind of always looking?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we have about 80 or so union members within our local that definitely have a good amount of part-time work for what we offer. But with the industry, especially here in Spokane, entertainment becoming more and more popular and more people looking for entertainment, more and more shows are coming through. We have more venues we have to staff, different things like that. And so for some of our larger shows, there's times where we kind of fall short on how many people that we can supply to the tour that comes through. And so we have kind of an ongoing list of folks that we have set up, and we would love to have people if they're interested with any sort of background in carpentry or rigging or audio engineering or electricity, kind of those standard trade crafts that you do. They all apply within the stagecraft world. They all apply within live entertainment world, just in a little bit different facets, but it's pretty transferable skills. And so we're always looking for more folks to kind of help us out and fill some of these large calls. Like, you know, we'll have 150 to 300 employees sometimes for these large arena calls that we have to bring in just temporarily. And so we need extra hands for that.
Definitely. How would somebody go about if they said to themselves, they're sitting at home, they're listening to us right now, and they're like, well, I did some of that like back in high school, but it's been like 5-10 years. I don't know. What does that process look like for them if they wanted to reach out and just talk about getting on a list like that and just kind of getting involved in some of that work?
Yeah, absolutely. The best step you can take is to go to our website. I believe it's iotsi93.org.
Can confirm.
Yeah, and that'd be the best way. There's some information on there. There's an application on there as well. There's some information about our union and our hiring hall and some of the rules that go into it, different tools you should bring for when you show up for your first gig, other things like that. So you can find a lot of information that you need at iotsi93.org and hopefully get yourself started there. The last time I was on it was a few months ago, and I can't remember if there's contact info on that, but I hope there is to help some people reach out and get in touch with us. So
I was looking at it before the show, before we went on air, and it does look like there is some contact information.
Wonderful.
On there.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So that's probably your best bet to get plugged in if you're interested.
Nice. So something that I like to ask folks when they come on to is, from your perspective as a worker, why do you like being in a union? What do you think the value there is? And do you think this industry would be there? Or what do you think this industry would look like if there wasn't your union specifically looking out for you?
Yeah, that's a really, really wonderful question. Our industry is a really unique one in that, you know, we will have rock shows that come through a town, and that means that we'll have a lot of work for a day or two, and then maybe a few days of no work until another show comes through. And when there's a show in town, we're looking at, you know, really, really long days. Mm-hmm. Or when you're shooting a production for the movies or for broadcast, you're still looking at really long days. Speaking to my experience, having a union kind of protecting my breaks, protecting my wages, also, you know, helping me negotiate different overtime rates and double time rates really makes those really grueling 12, 14 hour, 18 hour days a little bit more palatable. Mm-hmm. It really stinks to be away from my home for 18 hours at a time, all day long. I sometimes leave when the sun's still down, come home long after the sun has set, even sometimes the next day, 2, 3 a.m. But going home and going to bed and knowing that my time was well protected, I had all my breaks I needed to make sure that I feel like a human being at work,
right,
really, really helps that 18-hour day bite a little bit less. And that's something that I really enjoy about it. I worked in a non-union house prior to becoming a union member. And, you know, it's really nice to also make sure that when we're negotiating wages and things like that, that we're considering the technical and professional expertise that we bring to the table. And I think that really helps us with our wages as well, which is super helpful. It makes it much better.
Yeah. Absolutely. And does your union provide for any additional education opportunities or, you know, additional experience? Are these like transferable positions where you can go, you know, if you're working for a local up here, but you want to go to Florida or you want to go, I don't know why you would, but you want to go like wherever, you know, not dissing anybody in Spokane from Florida, but you are in the PNW. So that's how we do up here. You know, can you do stuff like that?
Yeah, there's definitely some ways to do that. So when you become a member of a local, you can get, you know, your local card, you can get a touring card as well. That's also attached to the local. So what that allows you to do that allows you to start going and looking for tours that only hire union labor. A lot of tours, almost every single Broadway tour that rolls travels through. Any city in America is usually an IOTC tour, IOTC housed. So they only hire IOTC members with touring cards to their locals. And then a handful of rock and roll shows that come through also have IOTC members on them as well. As far as transferring to other locals, yeah, you definitely can. They consider your experience, how much time you spent with the local that you're at. And then depending on their availability and what their hours look like, you know, basically the business agents kind of have a conversation and then start looking into what it looks like to transfer your membership to a new space. So my wife and I have, you know, kicked around moving to Seattle on occasion here and there. When we think about it, we think about what would work look like for me. And thankfully, Seattle has a local IOTC Local 15. And so I would be able to kind of, we work pretty seamlessly with them as well. And so I'd be able to transfer some stuff if they needed some extra employees, and some of that the seniority wouldn't carry over, but the experience and everything else would. So that makes it a little bit easier to transfer some stuff. Yeah.
Well, I hope we don't lose you, because you got a good head on your shoulders and you're super nice and approachable and you seem to know what you're doing. So I'd very much like to keep you in Spokane working for us, if that's all right.
Yeah, I love it here. So we'll hopefully stick around.
Good deal. Good deal. So I got to nerd out just a little bit and ask you, in your experience, I mean, you're working in close proximity with some names, some people that, you know, our listeners at home might know. So has there been any moment where you've had interactions with any of those people, or any shows that were like really near and dear to you that you were super proud or happy to work on? I mean, any like, shop stories that you got for us?
Yeah, that's a great question. I get this question a lot in this line of work, actually, too.
Oh, bet.
90% of the time, I would say, the talent doesn't even really pay attention to us. And we like it that way, to be honest. You know, it's kind of just how things go. There is the 10% of the time where they do. And usually, that's an exceptional experience. It's really something special. We had a handful of years ago when Kiss came through, Gene Simmons came off stage in his boots, platform boots and face makeup, and looked at the loading dock at the Spokane Arena and just gave a giant, huge thank you, arms in the air, and shook a handful of people's hands and thank you for coming out. Thank you for helping us make this happen. So that was one of those really big moments of like, whoa, like this, you know, an international rock star is recognizing some of the efforts that we're putting in here, which is really cool.
Which matters.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. Another one that was a little bit more recent was Jelly Roll came through town last year.
Yes.
And I'll be honest, don't love Jelly Roll's music, but do I respect the crap out of that guy now? He was just one of the kindest, nicest, easiest to talk to individuals. He actually came out that night. Was an extra long night for us, tearing out the stage at the pavilion that night. And so he came out at like 2 a.m. before his bus left and shook a couple of the lead's hands, thanked us for all our work. And so for that, I will always sing his praises to anybody who asks. It's like I said, 10% of the time we have folks who come up to us and really acknowledge our efforts and thank us for that, which is really helpful. Negative experiences are few and far between with talent, which is nice. It's professional talent on like the touring level.
Right.
I think one of my favorite shows that I had an opportunity to work was also last year, was A Day to Remember in the Used came through the podium.
Okay.
They're, you know, the Used, you know, both of them are kind of older, kind of post-hardcore metal bands. I am a massive A Day to Remember fan, have been for quite a while. Got to go to a bunch of their shows as a high schooler at Warped Tour. I was living in California at the time. And so really been following them since their inception as a band.
Right.
And I got to work for them, and I got to work the show that day. And I actually was able to go on stage and throw toilet paper at the crowd as a part of the show and throw beach balls at the crowd. Yeah. So that was one of those moments of like, I'm getting paid to do this. This is amazing. Like,
and did they like do it? Did you know you were going to do that when you went into work that day?
I had no idea. Yeah. So halfway through the call, we sent home a handful of a lot of our workers who helped load in the show. And then just the show crew sticks around after all those workers get sent home, usually after 4 to 5 hours. And then about 6 hours into the work call that day, the production manager or stage manager walks up to me and a handful of other stagehands and says, hey, can you all help me get this toilet paper ready to go? And we kind of all look at each other like, wait,
what?
And he's like, yeah, every show we toilet paper the crowd at the plan to, there's one of the songs. And yeah, I was like, yeah, I'm here for that. Like, I can't wait. And so then I got to go on stage and throw rolls of toilet paper at the crowd. And it was to one of my favorite songs too, which was really, really a fun time.
That's wild.
Yeah. So there's definitely times where, you know, we get to work shows with bands that we like, and we get to enjoy the show sometimes as much or sometimes more than the audience does, because we kind of also got the satisfaction of helping to make it happen. So yeah, that was a really fun one. I did remember another one that I enjoyed a lot was another one at the Podium, was Jimmy Eat World came through. And
yeah, I was at that show.
Yeah. Jimmy Eat World was actually, one of my first live concerts by myself. When I was 13 years old.
Oh, dude, they've been around a while.
Yeah. They've been around a while. So they opened for Green Day at the in Carson City, California, at the Home Depot Center, which is where LA Galaxy played. And I got to see Jimmy Eat World play as a 13-year-old, and then I got to be the job steward for our union when they came through town this year. So
you were the steward on that show?
Yeah. Wow. It's kind of a fun full circle moment for me. Yeah.
Yeah, especially because they were headlining that show, weren't they?
They were, yeah.
Not so. Opening anymore. Now they're a headline in and of themselves.
Yeah. Them in Manchester Orchestra, they really do a great job.
I remember finding them playing Midnight Club 3 Dub Edition. That was on Xbox One for anybody who might be listening and remember. Not Xbox One. The OG Xbox.
The OG Xbox.
It was before
the one with the massive controllers.
Yes. And I remember playing that under my stairs. You know, I was in a split level house, and my bedroom had the crawl space. It went under the stairs. I set up my TV in there so I could play without my mom catching me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I played a lot. I have a lot of hours. More hours than I care to admit logged in that game as teenage me, for sure.
I'm not going to admit to that number. I'm definitely not. But, you know, I know my brother would be, he would wear it like a badge of honor. He'd be proud. He'd be like, yes, we did. And it was good. Anyway, that's kind of a tangent, just throwing it off there a little bit. But I mean, when you like kind of look at the people that you're working with in the local now, and you look at the leadership, and I mean, surely you come across other union workers and other people from other folks in the country. I mean, is your sense that like Spokane is union friendly? Like, do you think that a lot of the people that are working with the union and a lot of the acts that are coming in are receptive and open to unionization? Or do you think that the general consensus among you and your fellow workers is kind of like, oh, careful, he's kind of a Pinkerton, you know, I don't know if he's or they are, you know?
Yeah, you know, I would say that the folks that we have contracts with, obviously, we have contracts with them because they understand the value that we can bring them. And so in that sense, it's pretty union friendly. I mean, the Spokane Public Facilities Department, we have a handful of contracts. We have one contract with them, and they manage a lot of the major entertainment venues here in town. So if you're just looking at that number alone, I guess you could say Spokane is a fairly union friendly city. There's you know, there's some other contracts that we work with that are a little bit more challenging to negotiate and different things like that. Where it gets really challenging is with third party folks. When a third party entity is involved in helping the city either put on a show or something like that, that's where things are going to get a little bit weird. Sometimes the third party entities that we work with, they don't love unionism. They don't love the fact that, you know, they have to pay their workers a fair and livable wage. Mm-hmm. And they also have to break them so they feel like humans while they work an 18-hour day.
It's cutting into their profit margins because they're hired to do a specific job, and now they've got to split it. And
precisely, right? Yeah, and some of these third party entities are large corporations. Like, so they have a little bit of they definitely can afford to loosen those strings.
What are you talking
bit.
About? They're all destitute. Every corporation in America is so starving for money that they're one mess up away from bankruptcy.
Yes,
as I understand
it.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's how it works.
I've been watching MSNBC. I know.
So there's a handful of organizations, third party entities that we work with that make it a little bit challenging, but for the most part, my experience has been a fairly union-friendly experience here in town.
Right.
We have a lot of, like, we also provide labor for, those are major contractors are the PFD and the city, but we also provide labor for a handful of local production houses here in town. So there's a handful of smaller production houses that put on small concerts, things like that. They also provide some of the equipment that we use at some of our larger venues too.
Yeah.
And they do their own production things all around the area, whether it's expos, trade shows, things like that. And they actually bring out, they only house a certain number of warehouse crew and a handful of crew they send out into the field. So anytime they need supplementation, they'll bring in some union workers for us as well, which is another wonderful way that those private production houses are hiring union labor. Even though the private production house may not be a union house, they recognize the benefit of having union labor. So it's really cool to see that.
Safety, quality, integrity.
Absolutely.
And protection for workers.
Yeah.
That all sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to take another quick break. You're listening to Anthony Calabro and Cat Sabotage discussing IATSE Local 93 here in Spokane. We'll be right back.
KYRS wants your brand new car. Well, not really. Yes, indeed. It's a great feeling to finally get another car after the old one's been breaking down over and over. It's another great feeling to get even more use out of an old car. Here's how. Donate it to KYRS. Car donors get a membership, a tax deduction, and the satisfaction of really helping out. Just call toll-free 855-KYRS-CAR. That's 855-597-7227. Honk, honk!
Boy, there sure is a lot of corporate media out there. You turn on the local news, and it might just be that you're listening to the same message that you're listening to three states to the east of you. You might turn on CNN, and you might hear one story one way, and turn on Fox News and hear the exact same story the exact opposite way. But no matter where you look, you always seem like you have to put everything through a filter. And KYRS does not do that. We are your local by the people, for the people radio station. Every show here is locally produced and locally crafted by citizens of Spokane just for you. So if you like what we do, please consider giving by going online to kyrs.org or texting give KYRS to 44321 so that we can keep doing this and we can stand up to corporate media together.
Hey there, folks. Join me for a musical trip along Americana Avenue. Now on Wednesday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. Hear the greatest progressive songwriters from yesterday and today. Each week, I'll feature a specific artist and a vinyl spin of the week. It's music that plays to the human condition. Wednesdays at 6 on Thin Air Community Radio.
You're listening to Solidarity Spokane at KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM. I'm your host, Cat Sabotage, and we've been talking today with Anthony Calabro, member of the IATSE Local 93, discussing entertainment and entertaining in the Inland Northwest and the benefits of having union workers on those shows. And Tony, it's just been really nice talking to you. I want to encourage everyone who is listening, if you do a job here in Spokane that you would like to discuss, if you would like to talk about how this economy has made you feel as a worker, or if you have anything that you would like to come on the show and talk about, something that fosters solidarity, maybe something that a neighbor did. And that old lady that takes care of all of the cats down the street from you, and she doesn't have to, but gives a safe place of refuge for all of our furry friends, exhibiting solidarity in any way, shape, or form, please consider shooting me an email at solidaritiespokane@kyrs.org. That's solidaritiespokane@kyrs.org. Would love to have you in my chair. So, Tony, you have really kind of opened my eyes to a lot of the stuff that's happening behind the scenes. And, you know, I worked in community theater, never did really any professional stuff. But I mean, I just was always so appreciative of the people that had our backs. I mean, there's something that happens when you're on stage and your microphone goes out and you're standing in front of everybody and nobody can hear you. And you choke. You can't really speak anymore. So I know there is no... Theater and entertainment in and of itself is such a, I guess I want to call it a sanctuary for solidarity, because the performers need the stagehands, need the audio techs, need the lighting people, need the costumers, need all of this stuff just needs to come together so perfectly to make something really fleeting that's going to go and it's going to be, and then it's just going to disappear. And then everybody disperses and goes their separate ways. But I feel like you get bound to those things. And you make these relationships with folks that exist for years and years beyond that. Do you believe that in your work working on those shows? I mean, you've made those relationships and you have, you know, you've made those memories with other people, either coworkers or other folks that you've met, you know, like on the road or stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, there's definitely a handful of coworkers all the coworkers within 93 I really enjoy working with. They all bring different things to the table. We actually have a lot of employees that have been around since the 74 Expo, and that's what kind of when they came on board, and now they're kind of our senior members, kind of showing us some of our younger folks the ropes and
the OGs.
Yeah, so it's really really cool to have the perspective and the institutional knowledge that these folks pass down to us for being in the industry for so long here in Spokane, especially.
Sure,
kind of watching the ebbs and flows. I really enjoy working with some of the younger folks too, because you know it brings different energy to the crowd, energy to the scene here in town, and we kind of have a little bit more in common when it comes to, you know, hobbies and things like that. So that's enjoyable. So locally we all get along really well. And because of that, I think we all really enjoy each other's company. We have, you know, family picnics, we call them. And we actually just had one not too long ago, which was really fun. As far as folks on the road, being that I'm fairly new to the entertainment union, and I joined right before the pandemonium that was 2020.
Yeah,
I haven't had the chance to meet and greet with too many people that tour, too many road folks.
Yeah,
there are folks that have been in the industry longer than me who have tons of folks, especially in Broadway when they come through and they're like, oh, this so and so is coming in from, and they're on this show, and then they have really awesome relationships with them. Like they take them out to dinner after not seeing them for so long, ages sometimes, and they kind of just pick up right where they left off,
right,
which is really cool. Two instances for me actually stand out, I had one instance when Wicked was in town. I was working with a carpenter. He and I had a lot of similar hobbies, mm-hmm. and so I showed him a handful of the rock climbing clags around town a couple of mornings before we had to show up for work. So
nice.
That was really fun. So we just kind of hit it off and had some similar interests, and he and I went questing for some crags at Dishman Hills and at Minnehaha. Yeah. Some early mornings before we had to be at work, which was really cool.
How long you been climbing?
Man, I started when I moved here in 2009.
Oh, a minute then.
So that's a while now, right? I think.
I don't want to say decade, but I think that word might be involved in this conversation.
I believe you're correct. Yeah. And so another one that was really fun is a guy who's coming to town here pretty soon. He's an audio engineer. He's an A1 audio engineer for... he has his own company, actually, Loomis Audio.
Okay.
And he's coming through with Goose, the band, who's playing at the Pavilion. And he ran a show at a festival that I worked at last year. And he was just a really nice guy. We hit it off. We had a couple of fun moments. And I reached out to him once I saw Goose was coming to town. And I was like, yo, you're still Goose's A1, right? He goes, sure am. And I was like, awesome. I'll see you in Spokane on this date. He goes, looking forward to it, man. So, yeah, those kind of relationships definitely exist. It's really, really a special kind of way to have that.
It'd be cool to be that guy as well, because then when you're setting up the band and you're doing everything, your audio checks, you can say, talk to me, Goose. And it's completely authentic. And you mean it literally. You don't even, and just act like nothing has happened.
I haven't even thought about that. You're right, actually. He probably loves every time he does that.
I like Top Gun a little too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, but talk to me, Goose. That would just be a dream come true to be able to say that in a professional setting and everybody knows what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Now, you've said too that your work in IOTC's kind of let you do some freelancing and stuff like that. I mean, that it's given you a lot of skills that you've developed and are transferable. You mentioned, you know, people with rigging experience, electronic carpentry, all that stuff. I mean, what's some of the freelance work you get to do in your work, and what's that like?
Yeah, absolutely. Spokane's a pretty, when it comes to live entertainment and supporting supporting union jobs year round, it's a little challenging,
right.
Just because we have a huge falling off once we can't be outside anymore.
Yep.
And so then that eliminates almost half of our venues, unfortunately. And so we still try to book a lot of stuff at the indoors, but when that falls off, we have a handful of folks that do some freelancing, or they kind of jump on with some other concert houses here in town.
Mm-hmm.
It's really offered me the opportunity to kind of dive into all of the other departments that are a part of live entertainment. For me, I kind of got my start in the rock and roll side of IOTC. So when I say that, I just mean like live music, live concerts. I don't mean actual rock and roll. The other side of IOTC, another big side of it, is Broadway. And then, of course, there's movies too. But for me, in the live entertainment rock and roll kind of realm, that's where I've really begun to kind of hone a lot of my skills, because there's a lot that goes into that. There's, I'm an audio engineer, is kind of what got me into this trade. And then since from there, I've jumped off into rigging, as well as I dabble in a lighting, but I know how to plug it in and address a light. That's
question.
About it. Yes.
Do riggers not whistle? Is that like, or does that superstition exist in the professional arena? Because there was always this thing in theaters that you're not supposed to whistle backstage, because people that worked in fly systems and stuff were on boats and they used to whistle, and because they were sailors, and that if you whistled wrong, you'd get something dropped on your head.
You know, I haven't heard that within hours for as far as a fly person goes, or not whistling as a rigger in an arena or not. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I haven't heard that.
I'm sorry. That was
okay.
Tangential.
That's
I needed
okay.
to know for myself. Sorry, listeners at home. I interrupted Tony. He was on a roll.
No, that's fine. Yeah. And so for me, a lot of my freelancing has kind of come in from doing audio engineering. And then I've also done production support.
Uh-huh.
So within the local, I've become a job steward in the last handful of years, which is really cool.
What is that?
Yeah. So basically a job steward is essentially just a site manager. Uh-huh. And what I mean by a site manager for the personnel. So where the union representative on site, who is the point person for all conversations to happen between the tour that's coming through. So their production manager, stage manager, or tour manager will kind of chat with us as a job steward and have a conversation. Say, this is what I need, how many people I need. And then the job steward then manages our union crew. So we're also basically the union crew manager. So mm-hmm. we'll be managing a crew of anywhere between 25 to 300 people. And that's the job steward's job, is to make sure that they can manage all those folks, that they're where they need to be, that we have enough people in every position for every department that's happening at that same time. And then we're also in charge of, you know, time cards and different things like that.
Grievances.
So, yeah. A little bit. There's a more formal process within our local for grievances, but essentially the first point that a grievance should come to is you should always go to your lead to have that conversation. If you see something on the venue that's not quite wrapping up to what you think it might look like, or something like that, then the first point person is to chat with your stew there, and then kind of go from there.
Yeah. Is that kind of a system that allows for the union to say that a lot of what they do is enforce safety? Because, I mean, we talked about that a little at the beginning, that there's a lot of stuff that can go wrong and has in the past gone wrong, like in the way bygone eras, like, you know, before there were union crews working on these shows. So does that process kind of help with those safety standards, where a worker will say, you know, this doesn't look right, I'm going to go to my stew and I'm going to talk to them, and then it escalates from there? Am I kind of on that?
Yeah, basically. So if a union member doesn't see something they don't love, especially when it comes to safety, their first step is to chat with their job steward. They have a conversation with their job steward, whether private or not, depending on the nature of the conversation, and then they kind of go from there as far as safety goes. Typically, if it's a safety issue, it's a full stop. It's like, we got to... If it's a really bad, big safety glaring issue, then it's full stop, production stop. We got to solve this before we move forward. Other times, though, that may not be the case. Other times, it could just be an easy fix, or it could be a short conversation with the individual who's concerned, saying, "Hey, you know, this actually isn't a safety concern. This is why it's not a safety concern. But thank you for bringing it to our attention." So it's a great way for the voice of the worker to be heard, and then hopefully, eventually, if there is a legitimate concern, for that concern to be escalated, so everybody goes home safely at the end of the day.
Right. And so often I feel like, you know, boots on the ground workers, people doing the A to B stuff, they get lost in the shuffle in private enterprise, and they can see that there is a brush fire starting like here in this one specific area and whatever work you're doing. And then they try and escalate it and they're just batted down because, you know, maybe it's incompetence, maybe it's because of apathy, maybe for whatever reason. But a union really provides that voice to workers of rank and file, and just lets them do their job.
Yeah, it's kind of baked in, and it's nice that it's baked in that way. So yeah, we're trying to encourage more of our members to continue, more of our members kind of across the board internationally, to raise the concerns. If you see something, kind of speak up and say something to your job steward, and then let it go from there. But your job steward is always the first person to kind of reach out, and that's why they're there. They're there to protect you, but they're also there to protect the union as a whole too. So,
and we're grateful to have you guys protecting us too, as viewers and people going to enjoy our entertainment. Now, we've got about 1 minute left, I think, before we're going to wrap it up here, because I have continually gotten in trouble for going over time. That's something I need to work on. I'm sorry, Dana, if you're listening. please don't kick me out of my chair. But I do love Amy Goodman. I need to give her the ropes in a moment with Democracy Now. So is there anything you would like to leave our listeners with? You have about 40 seconds.
Oh, the pressure. You know,
deliver.
Continue going to shows. And live entertainment is something that really is only funded by folks who buy tickets to shows. And I know that there's entities out there that make buying tickets really challenging and super frustrating to your favorite entertainer. But the more and more you go to shows and entertainment, the more and more Spokane's going to be able to bring in those names that you want to see. The more butts we have in seats, the more opportunity we're going to get bigger names like Billy Idol, bigger names like the Foo Fighters, and maybe have Book of Mormon come through again in Broadway, different things like that. So if you see something you want to go to, just buy a ticket, enjoy yourself, and hopefully that'll mean we'll be able to bring more of that entertainment to Spokane.
Tony, it has been an absolute pleasure having you in my chair today. Thank you so much for coming on, sharing your passion for your union and talking about the work that you do. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. It's been really great, Kat. Thanks so much.
You're very welcome. You've been listening to Solidarity Spokane, KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 to 92.3 FM. I'm your host, Kat Sabotage. Signing off till next week. Now, Amy Goodman with Democracy Now!
The following program was pre-recorded.